The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Today, a question about Romans. Is this book where the Romans wrote is found really a book about salvation? Is every mention of salvation a reference to eternal salvation? And what about Romans 10, 9, and 10 as an evangelism passage? Welcome. This is Grace in Focus, the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're glad you're with us today. We'd love for you to know more about us, and you can do that at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now with our question and answer discussion today, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
Bob, we got a question by Bob, and he's talking about the book of Romans. He wonders, well, first off, he makes a statement that Romans was written to tell people how to be saved. And I'm assuming he means saved from hell.
So we're going to entitle this show, Is Paul's Epistle to the Romans a Book About How to Be Saved?
And if we're talking about saved from the lake of fire,
the answer is no.
But as you were talking about, and I still remember, Earl Rodmacher said that believers need to be saved.
And so if you're asking, is Romans a letter about how believers can be saved from God's wrath in this life, the answer is an emphatic yes. And Zane Hodges has a whole commentary on it. You got there at the end of the table. What's the subtitle?
Deliverance from wrath.
Yeah.
Salvation from wrath.
And by the way, it's interesting. Look at Romans 1 and verse 15. If you all have your Bibles, turn there. And it's interesting, when Zane wrote his commentary on Romans, he took this a little bit differently than I think he would have taken it. So in Romans 1:15, he says, I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Well, a lot of people, and I know even you, Ken, like to use the term gospel to refer to the message by which a person is born again.
Right.
And so a lot of people see this and they say, well, Paul must be writing to a mixed group of born again and not born again people because he wants to preach the gospel to those who are in Rome.
Yeah, and I think this is what Bob's view is.
But actually, the term gospel, and I know you know this, you just use the term gospel as a kind of rough and ready reference to the saving message, like it is in Galatians, for example, where it's his gospel in Galatians is justification by faith alone. But his gospel in 1 Corinthians is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11, that Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again, and then he appeared to many. And the whole emphasis in 1 Corinthians 15 is on the resurrection.
And rewards.
Yeah, that we're going to be resurrected and we will be rewarded. And it's important that we cling to this in order to stay spiritually healthy, 1 Corinthians 15, 2. So I think that if Zane had lived longer, he would have come to the view that in Romans 1:15, what Zane argued was that he was wanting to evangelize. The you here refers not just to the believing readers, but to the all who are in Rome. He wanted to evangelize people in Rome. But I think if he'd lived longer, he would have come to the conclusion that no, since in the very next verse, he goes on to say the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, which Zane Hodges, in his own commentary, took as deliverance from God's wrath.
Right. So in verse 16, he takes it as deliverance from God's wrath.
So in 15, he should have seen it the same way.
Right. I've come here to teach you all the good news, to believers, how to be delivered from God's wrath.
Right. And so in answer to Bob's question, is Romans a book about how to be saved? The answer is yes, but it's the right kind of salvation. Salvation from God's wrath. And we see that in Romans 1, 18 through 32. After Romans 1, 16 and 17, you get the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all those who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. And all through the book, all the references to salvation refer to deliverance from wrath, deliverance from God's judgment in this life, not to salvation from eternal condemnation. And so it's important that we recognize that. And so many people teach the book of Romans in a way that's contrary to what Paul intended.
It's amazing. The book of Romans is everywhere taken to be like Bob takes it.
Well, he talks about the Romans Road, doesn't he?
Yes, at the end of the...
And a lot of people have evangelistic tracts. Have you seen these, Ken, where they call it the Romans Road? And
oh, sure.
A bunch of verses. Well, do you remember what verses do they pick from Romans? Name a few of them.
For all have sinned and fall short.
Romans 3:23.
Romans 6:23.
Right.
The wages of sin is death. Romans 10.
But the free gift of God is eternal life.
Right.
They go to Romans 10:9-10.
Right. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart, that we will be saved.
So doesn't Bob even say something about we need to confess with our mouth?
Well, he says that the book was written to tell people how to be saved, and he was writing to people who had already repented and be baptized, and he says it's understood that they understood that they needed to do those things.
But didn't he say something about confessing with the mouth?
Well, here's the way he ends it. Are there any good examples where someone was saved without repentance and baptism? That is, saved following the Roman road, which I'm a little confused here. What he seems to be saying is the Roman road is not a way to be saved.
But doesn't he go on to specifically talk about confession?
Or with confession of the mouth only. What he's saying is it's not enough. His point seems to be that these people were baptized and repented and confessed.
His point is, without the confession of the mouth, you're not going to be born again.
Yeah, I would say so.
And Bob, that is quite wrong. We know that, for example, because the Lord Jesus never said that. Read the Gospel of John. It's whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life. John 3:16. Nothing about confession.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically, or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
Read the Gospel of John. It's whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life. John 3:16. Nothing about confession. In fact, if you read John's Gospel carefully, it's very obvious that there's a secret believer theme or motif going on in the book. There were people who were not confessing. Yeah, Nicodemus is
Joseph
example.
Of Arimathea.
Joseph of Arimathea comes out at the end, but they were secret disciples, we're told in John 19.
John 12.
John 12, we have people who believed in him but weren't confessing him for fear of the Jews. John 2. Jesus didn't entrust himself to them, John 2:23-25. I believe we published an article by Bob Bryant, if you go to faithalone.org. It was a condensation of his master's thesis at Dallas Seminary on the secret believer motif in John. So, look, I have an article. If you want to go to faithalone.org, look at my article, The Romans Road Ends in a Cul-de-Sac. And my point is, you take a big 18-wheeler in there, you're not going to be able to get it out. Basically, Romans Road dead ends in Romans 10:9-10. Now, we've discussed this many times before, but let's just give a brief explanation of Romans 10:9-10.
I know this is so, so tough. You go to churches, you read commentaries, and just overwhelmingly they take all this to be telling people how to be saved. And it's sad because they miss the whole point of the book of Romans.
Even using the word saved is misleading. In my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words, I point out that in Christianity, we often use the word saved as though it's rough and ready. That means how a person is born again. But most of the time in the New Testament, 70% of the time when you see the word saved or salvation, it's referring to saved or salvation from issues in this life. John 3:17 and Ephesians 2:8-9, those are relatively rare uses of the word saved. Most of the references to saved refer to the salvation of believers. You can see it in Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Well, if you read Romans 3 and 4, the sole condition of justification,
which is righteousness,
which is in the verb form to justify is dikaiō. This word righteousness is dikaiō. Sune.
Right. It's a noun of the verb.
It's a noun of the verb. So it's the same basic. In English, unfortunately, they sound radically different. But we could say, but with the heart, one believes unto justification. And so once you believe, you're justified.
Right.
That's the only condition. And then he says, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
This is something in addition.
Right. Hodges points out that this is looking at the end of the tribulation, Joel 2:32, and whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's verse 13 of Romans 10. And his point is that's not a one-time confession. You know, you say Jesus is Lord or something. In fact, what it is, he would argue it's Lord Jesus. It's the quote, Lord Jesus, and you're crying out to him. And he argues that's corporate. In other words, these are people who are part of the worshiping community and who regularly meet and cry out, Lord Jesus. And these are the people who are delivered from temporal wrath. That's what's going to happen at the end of the tribulation with Jewish believers. And it's even what happens in this day and age. If we're part of the worshiping community and we're crying out, Lord Jesus, then we are being delivered from God's wrath, if, of course, we're also one who has believed unto justification.
And we believe he's risen from the dead, therefore he's able to deliver us from this, the consequences or the
wrath. That's verse 9.
The wrath, right.
Right, because if he isn't risen from the dead, he can't deliver us from anything.
Yeah, if someone's still in the grave, he can't deliver anybody from anything.
So the point here is, if you read Romans 10:10a, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, that's the sole condition of righteousness. And by the way, heart and mouth are internal, external. Heart doesn't mean blood pumping organ, it means the inner person. So that if I'm part of the worshiping community, if I can't speak, or if I'm, you know, let's say I'm just typing in, you know, my agreement. It's an internal, even the confession in a sense is internal, but it's part of a community. So if I'm part of that community that's worshiping Jesus, well, then even if I don't say anything on Sunday morning, I am confessing with my mouth. Are you with me on that?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you think you have to actually say something?
No, no, you don't have to say anything. And he asked the question, is there anybody that is saved from hell without repentance and baptism? Yes. Everybody who comes to faith in the Gospel of John.
Right.
And Cornelius in Acts 10, the Philippian jailer in Acts 16.
And everybody in church history.
Everybody in church history.
Including Bob.
Yes.
Either he at some point got it, that it was by faith alone, or Bob, you need to pray about this and ask the Lord, okay, am I confused? And if I am, read the Gospel of John, pray about it, and you'll see that you are eternally secure simply by faith in Christ, not by any kind of confession.
And if you read the Gospel of John, it will help you to keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening, and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our next episode, what is provisionism, and is it the same as free grace? Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
Proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.